But we begin with stars. No ads for the moment. With white dwarves. No sign of grumpy, dopey, sneezy or bashful like me. These are real stars beyond Disney. And there are two astronomers and earth scientists at UCLA who are tracking their contents for the remains of planets. Meet Ed Young and Alexandra Doyle.
So white dwarfs are the end product of stars, and they are about half the mass of the sun and about the size of the Earth, which means they have an incredibly intense gravitational field around them.
Do they keep imploding so they get more and more dense?
Yeah, they implode down till they can't squeeze anymore, because if they were to do that, electrons couldn't be electrons.
And our sun's going to do that one day in 4.5 or 5 billion years.
Exactly correct. Yes, exactly right.
Ali, what effect do they have on the surroundings of what used to be the galaxy?
The evolutionary process from a sun-like star into a white dwarf is very chaotic for the planetary system around it. So, for instance, people hypothesize that when our sun evolves into a white dwarf, that it will expand and gobble up Mercury and Venus and maybe even the Earth. And then when it collapses back down, all of the asteroids and other bodies can be sent on weird trajectories. And so if an asteroid comes too close to the white dwarf's immense gravity that Ed was speaking of will shred it into a debris disk. And that debris will then subsequently fall into the star.
And you've been observing that chaos, have you?
Yes. So we have been observing many white dwarfs that exhibit these heavy elements in their atmospheres, and they are coming from rocks. So we're basically doing an autopsy on what the white dwarf has gobbled up in its planetary system on these.
And you can see what those planets were made of.
Yes. We can see the composition of those rocky planetary bodies. Yes.
Amongst all that, how are you able to discern chemically what's going on?
So because of that immense gravity that I mentioned, all those heavy elements like magnesium, iron, silicon, oxygen, they should sink rather rapidly out of sight into the star. But the fact that we actually see them near the surface of the star means that they've been added recently, and they have to come from the rocks. Those elements can't come from the star or else they would have sank away. So these are elements that are there precisely because of the rocks that were pelting the surface of the star. So all those heavy elements that we see are the elements of the rock. So we get the rock composition. So let's say we have X amount of magnesium and Y amount of iron. That's the amount of iron and magnesium that was in the rock prior to its being consumed by the white dwarf. We get the chemistry of the planet.
And Ali, with this chemistry of the planet, how can you tell it was that planet amongst all that mess rather than another planet and get a characteristic kind of signature?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So it's entirely possible that we're sampling more than one body. So that would be comparable to if we were to sample a bunch of asteroids from the asteroid belt at the same time. So in that sense, we could be looking at blended up mix of the rocks in whatever that planetary system was, in general, what they look like.
Where have you been looking so far? Which part of the sky?
Mostly in the northern hemisphere, but we've so far been looking at things that are within about 600 light years of the Earth.
Just around the corner.
Yes, just around the corner. Just a short hop, skip, and a jump.
And as you look at them and you do this forensic work on what used to be planets, any surprises?
So far, I guess I would say maybe not. It seems to be that rocks in other planetary systems look very similar to rocks in our own solar system. A lot of times we see that these bodies are what we call differentiated. So if we were to take the Earth and we were to slice it in half, you would see that it has an iron metal core surrounded by a rocky exterior. We see this in other systems too, where they have iron metal cores surrounded by rocky exteriors. We're seeing very similar chemical compositions. And most recently, we've actually seen that they have similar oxidation states. So they have a similar mantle mineralogy, and it's incredibly important that we've seen this because that can have effects on other things like what type of volcanism you'll get on a planet and what the initial atmosphere might look like, whether or not the planet has a magnetic field around it, etc. So these are all very important things, and we're nibbling away at things that might be important in terms of habitability as well.
Imagine you're an astronomer at UCLA in 4.5 billion years time. And you're looking at what used to be the remains of the Earth. Would you be able to tell as you look up in 5 billion years' time what was different about the Earth and therefore what life may have done to it?
I wish. That would be incredibly wonderful. It's not so easy. There are a lot of pieces to the habitability puzzle.
But the oxidation state of the Earth and the oxidation state of the asteroids from which the Earth was built, this oxidation state is very different from what you would predict from a gaseous disk of solar composition. And so it's always been a curiosity why the rocks in our solar system are so oxidized. They're tens of thousands of times more oxidized than one might have predicted. And so the interesting thing is these rocks around other stars are similarly oxidized. So on the one hand, it's a not too exciting result because rocks are rocks everywhere. But on the other hand, we don't really understand why rocks are the way they are. And so whatever was going on here happened there too. That was sort of the essence of it.
Ali, I'll take that as a surprise. It really is rather interesting, you know, because, well, the Science Show has been on air now for 45 years nonstop. Mm-hmm. And when we first thought that there was an exoplanet, it turned out to be a false alarm. But since then, thousands have been discovered by all sorts of ways. What made you choose this particular field yourself to see what the planets are made of?
I actually started off as a geology major in undergrad. And UCLA is a super interesting place, and especially our astronomy department, because we collaborate. And Ed has collaborated with the astronomers on this polluted white dwarf project. So I get to straddle the bounds of geology and geochemistry that I know and also learn all of the astronomy that I need to do this project. So it was too interesting of an opportunity to pass up.
And I should say that our paper only examined rocks around six stars. Ali has now expanded that to about 20. So we're talking at most 20 rocky objects out of thousands. But the exciting thing is we're doing really detailed geochemistry on rocks a long way away. The goal is to build up the number of observations so that we can do something that's statistically meaningful. So far, we can say that most of these things look oxidized, but we can't say that that really means that most rocks everywhere are oxidized, but that's the plan.
That's the plan. Ali, a final question. As the white dwarf gets older and older, what happens to it?
So it cools down over time, and it is hypothesized that it will eventually cool into a black dwarf, though we have not actually seen a black dwarf before. There hasn't been enough time to actually have seen this. So eventually it will just cool into what will essentially look like a lump of coal in the sky.
That coal again, can't escape it. But it's no advert, that black dwarf. Ali Doyle, graduate student, and Ed Young, professor of geo and cosmochemistry at UCLA.